A Southland fisherman with an infected weeping wound on his wrist gave up waiting for medical help after about 7 hours in Southland Hospital's accident and emergency department. That's after he says staff told him he'd be waiting another 5 hours on top of that before anyone could tend to his wound. Through friends of a friend, an off-duty nurse cleaned and dressed his injury. By the time he got treated at the hospital the next day, Ben Wharton says he was nauseous, shaking and needed intravenous antibiotics. His story comes on the back of OIA documents showing in the first 8 months of last year, 24 practices and clinics had to reduce hours or close their doors due to critical staff shortages and cost pressures. And medical professionals say that is putting more pressure on already strained A&Es. Ben Wharton cut his arm on a fence before a fishing trip and didn't really think much of it until it started going bad on the boat. He says he's not enrolled with a local GP because many of them aren't taking new patients, so he ended up at the hospital A&E.
So, yeah, no, I was just pretty much going out for a dive and I just sort of jumped over this fence, sort of just, like, grazed my wrist, like it was nothing serious, and then I just ended up, well, I had work the day after, so I went away crayfishing for, I don't know, 5 days or something, I think, six, and then, yeah, while I was away, she just got pretty infected, and I just told myself I'm going to the hospital when I get back to get this checked out, so, yeah, went down to Kew Hospital, and just pretty much went up to triage desk and waited about 30 minutes for that. She was pretty busy that night, to be honest. But, yeah, they didn't do too much, didn't really offer any painkillers or nothing.
So, Ben, the wound on your arm, while you were away at sea, did it start to get a bit angry looking and red and a bit oozy? I mean, was it getting quite bad?
Yeah, she sort of got, like, I guess you could say pretty flamed up and angry looking, like you said. Yeah, she got pretty pussy.
Was it hurting?
Yeah, no, it was definitely sore.
Because you don't sound like a guy who, oh, I don't know, you sound quite tough. So I imagine it was a bit painful then if you were looking to go to the hospital.
I mean, I guess you could say that. Don't really like going to hospitals too much or, you know, giving in pain too easily.
So you ended up at the emergency department, I understand, is that right?
Yeah, ended up down there, just couldn't get into any doctors or anything down there at any time soon enough, you know.
Now tell me about that, how long did you wait in there, and kind of what was the waiting room like, was it chocker?
Yeah, no, the wait was, I don't know, about 7 hours, and then there's like other people that had like worse problems, you know. Like, this lady had a blood clot and things going on, and so her, what do you call it, triage number was higher than mine. And, yeah, she still had a wait of, they reckon, like, another 5 hours or so before she got seen, on top of 7 that we were all waiting for, really. Yeah, and I just got sick of waiting, I suppose, because I just thought maybe I could get into emergency doctor the next day.
So after 7 hours, Ben, did you decide, that's enough, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
And had they given you any advice on the wound at that point or done anything?
No, they didn't do nothing at all, really. Just had to end up going up and asking for some Panadol and ibuprofen, and then we just said, oh, look, we're just gonna go home, just got sick of waiting, and yeah.
Okay. So you were in pain obviously because you asked for some Panadol and you left, but this wound looks pretty nasty and it could have got worse. I mean, how did you get help in the end?
Pretty much my partner just has a few contacts in the family with, like, nurses and things. And so we just went around there, got it cleaned up.
So, did you go to a friend, you know, who was a nurse and they did it on their own time to help you out?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly that, which was, you know, a pretty sad thing to do, especially after just going to the hospital to try and get it sorted. But
what do you think of that? 7 hours waiting and still no help.
I reckon it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest. I don't think nobody should have to wait that long to be seen.
So, Ben, how's your arm now?
Yeah, no, it feels a bit better now, just with a lot of painkillers, but and just being prescribed some antibiotics. So we ended up going back last night because started to feel like pretty nauseous, and it just started getting like real yucky, and started swelling up a bit more and getting inflamed, and just had like a real bad fever coming on. And then so yeah, we just went back and yeah, pretty much just said that it was a young fella from last night that came in.
So what did was your they question again, did they give you antibiotics in the end?
Yeah, no, they put some in the IV line, and then yeah, wrote down a prescription, which I've just gone and got them today.
How worried were you?
Pretty worried. I mean, it takes a lot for me to sort of give in to those things. But, yeah, the body started to shake and things, and I was like, oh, better go down there and make sure I get checked out this time.
And that was Ben Wharton, the Southland fisherman, who got an infected wound and went to A&E. Left after about 7 hours, he said, without the wound being attended to. Patient advocate Melissa Vining tried to help Ben get help after his experience at A&E, and she joins us now. Kia ora, Melissa.
Kia ora.
What do you think of this?
I think it's just very reflective of the under-resourcing in the health system, and I feel immensely sorry for the patients and the staff that are in that situation, because the EDs have been singing out for a long time across the country that they are under-resourced and, you know, have these high patient numbers and this underlying failure of there being enough staff to do the job.
So when you got involved, you tried to help Ben get some antibiotics, is that right?
Yeah, in the first instance, I tried to get him into like primary health care, but we haven't got an after-hours service in Invercargill. I just phoned all the different GP clinics for a period of time to see if I could try and get him into someone just to clean out his wound. He sent me a picture of it, and it looked pretty nasty. And I just thought, he's a young guy, he's a fisherman, you know, he's not someone who's just going to be complaining. But for the sake of it, he clearly needed it cleaned and needed some medicine. And when he started saying that he was feeling nauseous, feeling hot, a little bit shaky, I obviously tried to get further help, and he went and seen a family member to get it cleaned out who was a nurse, but that didn't solve that antibiotic issue.
How many GPs did you ring, Melissa, before you carry on? How many GPs did you end up, or clinics did you end up ringing around?
I think roughly 15 to 17 to look for an after hours option, but then I got through to an after-hours call centre who explained there is no after-hours care in Invercargill currently. And she said he needed to go to the A&E, and I explained he already tried that and waited for 7 hours, well, that's what he reported to me, and that there are still patients in front of him. And so then when he called back and said he sort of had the shakes, because there was no pharmacy to get a prescription, it was closed by then, that's when I said he needed to go back to the ED, because I was worried that something bad was going to happen to him.
Do you think this could have had a much worse outcome than it did under the circumstances?
Well, obviously I'm not a medical professional, but I was just, if it was my 22-year-old, I wouldn't want them at home with an infection where their body was, you know, starting to shake and feeling hot. It just didn't sound good. And obviously I understand that the staff are just so stretched in different evening shifts. I guess we just need to try and get some more primary health care, because the GPs are saying they're short, and a lot of people in Southland are experiencing up to 2 weeks wait to get into a GP. And for those types of things, you know, for poor Ben, he certainly didn't have 2 weeks to wait to get an antibiotic.
Are you having any conversations with staff working in the A&E? I mean, you're pretty well connected in the medical field. So what are people telling you about the pressures they're under?
Yeah, I spoke to two amazing nurses earlier in the week prior to this incident, and you know, they were just expressing their concern for the staffing shortages, and that they were experiencing patient numbers similar to Dunedin, with significantly lower staff numbers than Dunedin. So they're just worried that A, they're run off their feet, they couldn't give the care that they always want to give in the time that they want to give. And I guess that's the part I was worried about for the staff and for the patients.
I mean, how is this going to get any better when Te Whatu Ora has issued, well, instructions to cut overtime hours and double shifts and not backfilling people who are sick?
I just feel quite concerned about that instruction, and I would be very surprised if they could apply that in an ED setting and safely care for people. So I think in terms of ED, you have to replace people who are off work sick, or they won't be physically able to meet the demands of the patients. But also I think there's this higher level issue where Health NZ has not got on and actually got things actioned. We've all known there's been a primary healthcare shortage. We've known that there isn't enough ED staff, and Health NZ has been established for a long time now. It's cost a lot of money and there is no action.
What would you say, Melissa, to people who think, oh yeah, he had a cut on his wrist, no big deal, so he had to wait 7 hours, just went back the next day?
Yeah, I don't think most people would feel that way. I think most people, if they had their child in that situation, a young person, that they would be concerned about sepsis or more serious type things coming from that. And when you can't access a GP or any type of primary care or out-of-hours care, ED is your only option. So, you know, was he supposed to drive to Christchurch? What else could we do for the poor guy?
Really appreciate your time, Melissa. That is Melissa Vining, patient advocate there.